He became broken that we might become whole. He became empty that we might become full. He became despised so that we could be celebrated. He was rejected so we could be accepted. He became this so that we could live in this. This is what God intended for you and me. As a believer, I don't come to this table of the Lord as a tradition where I need to just get another notch on my Bible that I've accomplished something that I'm supposed to do. For me, this is a living interaction between me and the Almighty God. It's one of the most history-influencing activities of my life. It's not done out of routine. It's done with faith. It's done with obedience. I know as Protestants, we're not supposed to approach the body, the blood and the bread this way. But when I hold the bread in my hand, I remind myself, Jesus said, this is my body. I don't have to understand anything about it. All I need to do is acknowledge. I hold in my hand the broken body of Jesus. The broken body represents something to us that's extremely significant. Jesus was beat with a whip. If you can imagine a whip with leather strands, and on the end would be pieces of shards of glass and pieces of metal. And they beat him with this whip until history tells us internal organs were displayed. He was beyond recognition. And according to Isaiah 53, that payment that he made was not so that we would feel bad for him looking in the past, but that we would realize he purchased something in that moment. He actually bought your right to healing. He made a payment. By his stripes, I was healed, is the scripture. By his stripes, I was healed. 2,000 years ago, a payment was made for our healing. And the only thing greater than divine healing is divine health. And I believe that the Lord's going to give us insight. I don't have it right now. I just have the ache in my heart. I can tell when God's doing something because my heart will usually ache for it first. There's this ache in my heart that tells me there's a reality I've not yet tasted of that he has made available. And I don't know how to get there except to come before him repeatedly in obedience and surrender, making my petitions known. And that issue is divine health. I believe that if Israel in the wilderness, in rebellion against God, not even born again, could experience divine health, then how much more those who are under superior covenant would actually taste of superior blessings. What I don't want us to do ever is to create a theology for a problem we face. Only hold to the theology of the solution. Only hold to the theology that says, this is what Jesus has accomplished, that this that I'm facing would yield and be broken for the glory of God. You hold in your hands the testimony of a broken body. I want you to stand. There may be some in the back that don't yet have the bread, but I want you to stand. I want you to hold your bread out in front of you. And there are several things that I do that I'm going to ask you to do with me, to put everything else aside, all other activities. In this one moment, I want us to come before the Lord with the broken body of Jesus. And what I like to do, I did it this morning. I didn't realize we were having communion today, so I brought my own communion stuff to the office. I come down here early and just pray to get ready for the day. And I was walking through the sanctuary. I did this again. I held the bread, the body, before the Lord and began to pray and make confession, declaration. By the stripes of Jesus, Mary is healed. Cancer is never to return to her body again. By the stripes of Jesus, Parkinson's is gone from Kathy. Parkinson's has been defeated in Alan. And just make these declarations. They're not ritual or routine. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And all I want is my tongue to agree with what God has accomplished and with what God is saying. So I'm going to ask you to do that. I'm going to ask you to take just a moment, hold the bread before the Lord, and just declare the healing grace of Jesus over your own body, over your family, over any family member or person, friend, that you know that's battling a disease. Bring their name before the Lord and declare over them, by his stripes you were healed. Let's do that. Take just a moment for that. Do that even at home, those of you who are watching. By the stripes of Jesus. By the stripes of Jesus, I was made whole. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. By the stripes of Jesus, Mark Cooper was healed. Cancer is never to return to that body. By the stripes of Jesus, even in this room, brain disorders are to be healed. This is spirit, soul, and body. Every area of life healed. There's not one thing he left out. We declare that healing grace. Now, hold that bread in front of you again. When you're on your own, obviously you can pray for everybody you can think of, but we do have a time limit this morning. So hold that bread in front of you. Here's another thing that the broken body of Jesus did. In Ephesians 2, it says, Jesus bore on his body the dividing wall. Now think about it, between Jew and Gentile, the greatest divide ever to exist, the blessed and the cursed. Jesus took on his own body the dividing wall. What does that mean? It means that this bread, this brokenness that you hold in your hand, he became broken that we might become whole. He became empty that we might become full. He became despised so that we could be celebrated. He was rejected so we could be accepted. He became this so that we could live in this. This is what God intended for you and me. Any situation where you know there's division, it could be between you and a family member. It could be between a racial conflict in your place of work or city or nation. Doesn't matter what it is. I want you to hold this before the Lord, and I want you to make the confession. This is more than enough to fix this divide. This is more than enough. The payment you made is more than adequate to make it possible for unity to exist between this church and that church, this race and that race, this family and that family. Lord God, we give you thanks for the power of healing and the power of unity, all that was released through the broken body of Jesus. Receive that now. Let's partake together. Yeah, we give you thanks, Lord. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. Hold the cup before the Lord. When I bring the cup before the Lord, Jesus said that this is his blood. There's two confessions I like to make, proclamations I like to make when I partake of communion of the blood. The first is, the blood of Jesus sets me free. Say that with me. The blood of Jesus sets me free. Say it again. The blood of Jesus. One more time. The blood of Jesus sets me free. The other thing I like to proclaim as I pray for every member of my family, every member, as I make this confession, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Say it together. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then I pray for members of my family. Do that now. Take just maybe 60 seconds for that. Just declare. If you have loved ones that aren't walking with the Lord, just call them in. We just say, every single one has a place in Christ. We call them home in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus sets free. The blood of Jesus sets free. Every single family member, the blood of Jesus sets free. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. I love praying for my family so much. I just love what I do is I pray for my kids, my grandkids, as I've done for, goodness, Eric's 42 years old, so I've done it for 42. In fact, I did it before he was born. I pray, God, Jeremiah 24, God, give them a heart to know you. Let them hear your voice. Woo them with your voice. Let them know your ways. God, let them know your ways. Pray that for your family. God, give them a heart to know you. Let them know your ways, God. Draw them near to you. Next, to praying for my family, probably my most favorite part is when I pray for those who have, for whatever reason, have chosen to oppose me or criticize me. Their work in the gospel is to somehow take away from whatever God is doing here. And the Bible makes it clear you don't ever have the right to criticize a servant to their master. So I have no voice before the Lord. I don't want to anyway, but I have no voice to criticize another servant of God to God himself. What I have found joy in is praying for God to abundantly bless them in every possible way. I love to pray that God would prosper them, spirit, soul, and body, that their health would be good, that they would never need anything financially, that God would surround them with favor, that every opportunity for their gift would be provided for them, that they would become all that God has meant for them to become. I love to pray that when I'm holding the cup of the blood, because the blood is what covers me and covers them. It's the blood that wipes out the power of sin. And I love to pray, my favorite thing, I guess, maybe, is that I pray that God would give their children and their grandchildren, that they would know the joy of having children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren that serve God with a whole heart, absolute passion, absolute purity of heart, that they would know the joy of multiple generations serving Jesus. Some of you you're in conflict right now. You may be doing well, but there's just the pain of conflict. I want you to pray blessing on that person. If the person you need to forgive is already dead, don't pray for them. We don't pray for the dead. But honestly, pray for their family members, their descendants. Pray that the Lord would so richly touch that household, that family that remains from that person who caused you such pain. Be a redemptive person, not just a reactor. Be a redemptive person. So let's hold this cup before the Lord. Let's pray this one thing. If you have anyone you need to forgive, obviously, just do it right now. I just declare forgiveness for that person. Mention their name. Pray for the Lord to just so prosper these people. I think the ones that I know of are doing all that they know to do with what they have. I can't judge them by my experience. So I bless them. I ask for rich, rich reward of God on their lives. I release them from my judgment. The file of information I've collected that proves me right and them wrong, I throw it on the fire right now and I declare the wonderful grace of Jesus covers us both. Amen to that? Amen. Let's receive this together as a testimony of our own forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Wow.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you watched this video. I do pray that it's a great, great strength and encouragement to you. And I've got a verse that really is my cry for all of us. And it's Psalms 20, it's verse 4. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. That's my prayer. That's my prayer, is that this would be the season of rich, rich fulfillment. Thanks for joining us.